Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Lord, have mercy. These are not words with which we speak about Jesus. This is a script thousands of years old for speaking to Jesus. This is prayer. And if you're needing something to pray, this is a good way to begin. Kyrie. Kyrie means Lord. The first person who spoke to Jesus in this way was this Syrophoenician lady. I say lady because the Syrophoenicians were wealthier and more worldly than the Galilean Jews. In this story that I told the children from Mark, the earliest gospel, she says, Kyrie, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. In the whole Gospel of Mark, she is the only character to address Jesus as Kyrie. She alone calls him Lord. She models a discipleship that wealthy and worldly societies desperately need. Since the Syrophoenician woman boldly asked Jesus for help, many millions of others have dared to speak up and speak directly to Christ, to ask for healing, to plead for mercy, and cry out for justice for others and for themselves. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the one who will meet our deepest need, who knows our need because he lived as one of us and now lives in all places and within us as well. This Jesus can be our Lord, whether we're rich or poor, young or old, part of the in-group or dismissed as the out-group. When Jesus of Galilee encountered this Gentile woman and her fierce mother love for her child, he was offended at first. Jews like Jesus and Gentiles like this lady didn't just visit one another's houses doing neighborly favors for each other. They kept themselves quite separate. Jesus begged off any responsibility. Let the children of Israel be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But then she called him Lord. We usually translate it just Sir, in this passage. And she made her case. I wonder whether at that moment Jesus was plunged into the heart of God's love that encompassed not only Israel but all nations. I wonder whether Jesus might have even recognized his own mother's legacy of love and justice in this lady's demand. Taken to task, the Lord humbly acknowledged her truth and shared his healing power with her without speaking to her daughter, without touching her or even seeing her. Jesus delivered the child from terrible suffering. It was a miracle. Jesus took the path that we must take, and perhaps that's a miracle too, expanding our capacities to not just speak of love, mercy, and justice, but to act, and to act not just for our own people, but for strangers and outsiders. Next month, many of us will participate in a local tradition, the Virginia Mennonite Central Committee Relief Sale. It's a wonderful event, a chance to see friends, enjoy music, volunteer, hey, we need a lot of volunteers, compete in a 5K run, bid on furniture or quilts, also a competitive sport. and eat delicious food, all to raise funds for the relief, development, and peace work of Mennonite Central Committee around the world. Now, the people who benefit directly from these funds are people that we might never see, with whom we might never speak, or touch, shaking hands, or offering a hug. The relief sale creates a healing connection with people in other parts of the world. It's the stuff of miracles sometimes. The relief sale also bonds local Mennonite folks across the theological tensions that sometimes threaten our shared witness to Jesus' way of peace, mercy, love, and justice. Sometimes that feels like a miracle too. Currently, MCC has about 775 people from the US and Canada serving in over 60 countries. And there are another 230 people serving as in-country staff to MCC projects. If you've ever served with MCC in the US or some other country, would you be willing to raise your hand? I know there are many here. Terrific, thank you. Thank you for your example of love and mercy in Jesus' name. And many of you have supported MCC's work financially, so you're already familiar with organizing your life around God's dream of meeting the needs of the world with love and mercy. Today, our scriptures encourage us to continue this tradition in Jesus' name. The scriptures we heard today all concern how the people of God relate to those in need. In the Bible, the book of Proverbs, what we read in our call to worship, that whole book kind of comes from the perspective of power and privilege. Proverbs is a collection of wisdom that was originally compiled as instruction for elite young men who were eager to rule the world. They needed help. And yes, Proverbs, even though it comes from this privileged perspective, addresses the wealth gap in Israelite society. So the parts that we read from chapter 22 make a number of points. First, God made everybody, whether rich or poor, so we're all part of the same family. And second, don't perpetuate injustice. And third, generosity is about sharing with the poor, not with your rich friends. And fourth, don't exploit the poor, even though that is really easy to do. And fifth, God is on the side of the poor. These are sobering words for young leaders who are eager to rule the world. And this bar graph gives you a sense for the extreme wealth gap in this country. We also heard an excerpt from the New Testament letter attributed to James, the brother of Jesus. James is radical with respect to wealth and poverty. For James, there is no reason to worship if we are not sharing with the poor. James exposes empty religion, false spirituality in a heartbeat. A lot of the wise teaching in James sounds like the wisdom of the Old Testament, and it also sounds a lot like the teaching of Jesus. What is our relationship to the poor of the world? Now, the MCC relief sale is a fun tradition that raises funds to meet global needs. In recent years, the Share Our Surplus campaign goes further. At the relief sale, we can not only divert our recreational dollars that weekend toward a good cause, but give money directly from our surplus to provide for refugees. Harvey Yoder, another local Mennonite, says of the Share Our Surplus campaign, it's to willingly become poorer for Christ's sake. Now that's going pretty far, but James goes even further. James makes us examine systemic privilege and prejudice in our community so that we interrupt the cycles that keep some poor while others grow wealthy at their expense. You may have heard about the USA Today report identifying Harrisonburg as the city in Virginia in which poverty is concentrating at the fastest rate. One Harrisonburg neighborhood crossed the extreme poverty threshold between 2010 and 2016. And so now, a little over 10% of poor folks in our metro area live in a single neighborhood. That's nearly twice the 5.5% of concentrated poverty rate in Virginia as a whole. Now, some of our local economic development folks question whether our many students skewed those statistics. But you know, one of our CMCers, Adrian Griggs, and the JMU Campus Kitchen folks, they are in touch with food insecurity in the wider community as well as among students. So I think this USA Today report is very relevant to our local context. And we also know that the ALICE report issued earlier this year, which identifies people who are asset limited, income constrained, employed, includes more than 60% of Harrisonburg residents and 42% of Rockingham County residents. The United States has wider disparities in wealth between rich and poor than any other major developed country. Our Christian scriptures, both Old Testament and New, Proverbs and James, address the people of God and the wealth gap in their society. Proverbs comes from the perspective of the elite. James comes from the perspective of the poor, those that church in Jerusalem was the recipients of financial support from Christians in other parts of the Roman Empire. But both Proverbs and James indicate divine judgment against societies like ours. Sometimes the invitation in Scripture is less comfort and more of a challenge. This morning, our invitation is to be opened. It's what Jesus said to the man who was deaf and mute. Ephatha, be opened. The Old Testament prophets regularly spoke of God's people being spiritually deaf, unable to hear or comprehend God's hope for their nation. Here's just one example from Zechariah, because you probably didn't already read Zechariah this week, right? Thus says the Lord, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But they refused to listen and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears in order not to hear. They made their hearts hard in order not to hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by the Spirit through the former prophets. Jesus comes to heal all nations, to open our ears so that we can hear, to help us speak plainly and truthfully about the real conditions of our world. And Jesus shows us how to live as this healing presence of God's mercy and love in our communities. Jesus was known for relating to the poor, oppressed, and excluded people of his society. Rather than steering clear of these undesirables, Jesus connected even with the sick and oppressed. Jesus had a reputation for healing. He organized his life to care for those in need. And he expected his whole nation to follow him and do the same. This is madness. This is not the way nations are supposed to operate. Nations concentrate wealth and power and give the poor just enough so that they do not rebel. Jesus was not just a good individual example from long ago. Jesus is the Messiah, the leader, the Lord, Kyrie, of a nation. Jesus has actually shifted history so that now, whenever we pray or give or serve or heal in his name, We are exercising our citizenship in a nation led by Jesus, the Lord, Kyrie. In whatever creative ways we are addressing the wealth gap in this country or alleviating global poverty, we are not just doing some good. We are part of God's history, God's story and dream for the earth and all its creatures, where Jesus is Lord and needs are met with mercy and love. Today, we celebrate the beginning of a voluntary service unit here in Harrisonburg. Through the dreams, vision, planning, prayer, administration, and leadership of CMCers, we are beginning something new. There has been some persistent and fierce love that has gone into this endeavor. It has not been easy, and I actually just heard about yet another obstacle, but we will be opening our VS unit soon, and we have a great committee to thank. We also have, the chair has been Dan Beachy, and Pastor Jason has been the staff, and perhaps he'll introduce the rest of the committee later in the service. We also have two young adults, Ali Zerker and Taylor Hodges, who are opening themselves to this inaugural year of the Voluntary Service Unit. We have been praying for them, and we are delighted to welcome you. I believe that over time, this Voluntary Service Unit will do some good in the community, and individual service workers like Ali and Taylor will make positive contributions to people who are served by the agencies and schools of Harrisonburg. But voluntary service is more than just doing a bit of good. When VSers organize their lives to care for those in need, it is evidence of their citizenship in a nation, a people for whom Jesus is Lord. And when a church like ours organizes our money and our time and our relationships and our staff and our energy to care for those in need, we are joining God's dream for our community. When Jesus entered Gentile territory, he heals a little girl without seeing her, without speaking to her, without even touching her. But then he seems to have an even tougher job. When people from the Decapolis bring him this deaf mute, Jesus has to drive his fingers into his ears, and he spits and he touches the man's tongue, and then he offers this anguished cry in a language the man doesn't even understand. Ephatha, be opened. It makes me wonder, is it easier to give money to alleviate poverty at a distance than to address economic inequality when it is close enough to touch in our neighborhood, in our city, in our church? Perhaps so. And yet, even we who live in a society that is far from God's dream are hearing, at least in part. Our ears have been opened. What is God speaking to us from these scriptures? We are invited to love deeply, like a wealthy Gentile mother. We're to love enough to do something out of the ordinary. Imagine a Syrophoenician lady seeking out a Galilean peasant for help. But who knows? Perhaps it is the poor whose help we need. Today we're invited to love deeply. We're also invited to be opened so that we can both hear and speak about God's dream for the world in which every need is met with mercy and love. And of course, we're invited to belong to the worldwide nation who claims Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.